In the days since Dr. Christine Blasey Ford came forward with her sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, more and more women have felt empowered to tell their story of sexual abuse. In fact, over the weekend, Palo Alto Mayor Liz Nis revealed that she had been sexually assaulted twice as a young woman. And RAIN, that's with two N's, the National Sexual Assault Hotline, has reported a large increase in calls. For more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Sarah Cook, a psychology professor at Georgia State University who studies gender-based violence. Dr. Cook, thank you for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Can you give us some insight as to why we see these numbers go up when somebody prominent speaks about an issue like this?
I think there are probably a couple of different reasons we should consider. One may be because women have recognized that their past experiences actually fall into a category of sexual assault. And at that point, they want to report it, they want to record it, they want to somehow document it. Another reason is because women who've either acknowledged their experiences as an assault are reliving their experience. They may be having stress-related symptoms such as intrusive memories or flashbacks or hypervigilance, feelings of being on edge. It could also be because the climate is really changing and women feel empowered and emboldened even by the president and others who deny the reality of sexual assault and its aftermath. They feel emboldened to tell someone about their experience.
Well, you know, we've all been stunned in a way, really, to watch these brief recountings of past sexual violence from women on that Twitter "Why I Didn't Report" hashtag.
Yeah.
And I guess my question would be, is there a strength in numbers sort of thing that goes on? Do women feel that because they see so many other stories that they might see themselves in those stories, they feel empowered to speak?
I think so. They're really challenging what society thinks is sexual assault. They're changing the narrative of sexual assault. That it's not an exceptional experience. It's not a rare experience. It doesn't fall outside of most women's lives. You know, we have scientific data over the past 30 years that show that sexual assault is a part of many women's lives. You know, near 30, depending on how you define it and measure it, can be anywhere between 30 to 50, even 60%.
Sometimes the recollections of men are different, even though the situation may be very true. Can you explain how that happens?
I've been thinking a lot about that recently, and I think we have to recognize that we are in the midst of a pretty powerful social political movement and great social change where people are rethinking behavior that's been previously accepted as rude, as boorish, or tasteless. But, you know, not criminal or not assaultive, that's being reevaluated. And women think back and are reevaluating. They may understand their past experiences different, not about what happened, but what they're calling it or what they're now naming it. You know, they may have tried to forget about it, but that's not likely. Women don't forget, or anyone doesn't forget, an experience that's exceptional in their life, you know, that falls out of a normal experience or what they expect. And on the other hand, I think it's hard for men to recall specific incidences when their behavior was really guided by the scripts that guide sexual behavior and the scripts that guide the expression of masculinity that are very normative. I mean, there's no reason to think that the behavior that is boys will be boys is going to be particularly memorable because it's probably repeated many, many times.
Just about a minute left, but how would you define, because the nomenclature seems to be at the center of this whole discussion right now, was what happened to Dr. Ford, if you left her out of it and just had that set of facts in front of you, a sexual assault? How do we define this?
According to the FBI's definition, that would fall under attempted rape. She was pinned down. She couldn't move. His hand was over her mouth, and he was attempting to penetrate her vaginally by her report. So it definitely would fall under that category by the FBI. Now, state laws are different. And I don't know each state's law, but more and more states are adopting definitions that are similar to the FBI's definition.
Dr. Cook, thank you for your time this morning. Dr. Sarah Cook's a psychology professor at Georgia State University who studies gender-based violence.